What we know is the U.S. House will vote for a second time on this massive farm bill after the measure was defeated last Friday. The vote on the $867 billion bill will be held on June 22nd, as we know. Talking with Congresswoman Gwen Moore about the future of the farm bill, the complications under the reauthorization. You have a line to her at 800-642-1234. How should Wisconsin's delegates vote on reauthorizing the farm bill? What strategy best represents Wisconsin values? How do you see the farm bill affecting your life? You can call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Congresswoman, is it a possibility for this bill to be separated out, to pull apart this bill and really start over, or are we too late?
Well, Kate, let me just say the secret sauce of the farm bill has been to keep it together. There would be a tremendous amount of resistance on the part of particularly nutrition advocates of pulling it apart, because the ability to compromise and to do our legislative work, it's important to get buy-in for the nutrition title. Were we to separate it, the fear of those of food advocates is that, you know, the 800-something plus billion-dollar farm bill could end up just being a subsidy for farmers and not really focusing on the nutrition needs of people. You know, with regard to your notion that that Wisconsin representatives ought to be particularly concerned about the farm bill, you know, Wisconsin is still one of those states that has a kind of a mixed economy. We still have rural areas, still have farming, and we have urban areas as well. the farm bill tends to separate people along those lines, in those who live in urban areas versus those who live in rural areas. But I think in the interest of our dairy farmers and other farmers here in Wisconsin, it's in our best interest to pass this bill. With regard to the nutrition title, we've got 7,000 kids in Milwaukee County, where I live, who would lose benefits under this current farm bill. But right next door to me in a wealthy county is Waukesha County, and there are 2,400 kids who would lose, would become more food insecure. And so, you know, it's not as if this is a problem that just is a problem in Milwaukee or Milwaukee County, that throughout the state we would see more food insecure families. And, you know, this food stamps paid out about $867 million in our state last year. And we would lose about $24 million. If, in fact, this bill were passed.
Let's bring in a call now. Let's go to Scott joining us from Prairie du Chien. Hi, Scott.
Good morning. My concern on the subject was with your last speaker. He kind of painted a picture of agriculture as corporate farms, and that's just not the case. I don't know of any corporate farms. I'm a farmer in Wisconsin. I associate with a lot of farmers and different farm bureau, and most of the farmers are family farms. All of them that I know are family farms. Unfortunately, the smaller farms are going out of business, and they're becoming bigger farms. But it's still families just taking on more acres. And this notion that it's corporate farmers abusing the system is, I think he's way off base on that.
Scott, thanks. Let's pause there on this notion that family farms are still around, Congresswoman Moore.
You know what? Scott makes a really important point, because this bill abandons farmers and producers, and it weakens the farmer's safety net for farms exactly like the one Scott's talking about. It slashes hundreds of millions of dollars from rural development initiatives. It cuts the small business loan guarantees, and it adds new layers of bureaucracy to high-speed broadband grants that farm communities have waited just on far too long. So, I don't know that John Patty was totally wrong to talk about some of the corporate abuse, but we can't forget that there are still, especially in a place like Wisconsin, there are still small farmers, and this bill really harms them. And so I appreciate his call.
Let's go to John now, joining us from La Crosse. John, go ahead. Hi.
Hi. I just recently learned through a class I'm taking that the only problem that's ever existed with agriculture is over, and it has existed since the beginning of the Great Depression, is overproduction. So we stimulate all this overproduction with these subsidization through these type of farm bills, where we have to go out and find uses for these food commodities, like all the corn and all the corn syrup we make, and all these things have to be subsidized. So I wonder why we don't have a free market on our agricultural commodities. Why are we subsidizing all this production when we don't need it?
John, thanks for that question, Representative Moore. The Farm Bill is stimulating overproduction, John says, and then you have to find markets for all of those commodities.
This is why I think it's important to realize that there's give and take here. You know, farmers need a guaranteed kind of income, and so if they're they can't say we're going to produce less this year because we don't need it. They still need their income, and that's where feeding programs come in. I mean, our school lunches really rely on some of these so-called overproduction. There are places where we can use stuff that doesn't go on the retail market. And we harm that. I mean, the other piece of this is that, you take something like SNAP, it produces $1.79 of economic activity for every dollar that's spent on so-called food stamps. And so there are economies of scale throughout this bill, which is one reason that we don't want to ever separate the title, the nutrition title, from the farm subsidy title, because we try very, very hard to thread that needle.
Mm. Let's bring in Ann now from Green Bay. Ann, hi.
Good morning. I would like to know this asinine, ridiculously stupid idea of providing a box to, people, a box of non-perishables. Is that going to be a national project or just a statewide project?
So you're talking about SNAP here and this box of staples, and is that as part of the farm bill? Congressman Moore, do you know anything about that?
It's not part of this current farm bill, but I can tell you that we will have to continue to try to kill the idea, and I don't know how old you are, but I'm old enough to remember those boxes. Long story made short, I mean, it's very, very inefficient. It's something that was a great idea during the Great Depression. Hopefully our economy won't get back to that point. But again, the SNAP program, formerly called Food Stamps, has been a very efficient way to distribute food to needy people. And the whole box concept is mean-spirited, designed to humiliate people, to shame them out of eating.
So, Congressman, where do we go from here? What is the next step in your eyes?
Well, the next step in my eyes, as I look toward June 22nd, again, I think it's political. I think there are what conservatives, the minority of the Republican Party, and they are the minority here. We have reasonable Republicans. They want to push the president's immigration initiative. They want a wall, and they want to hold food and people and kids and disabled hostage, so they can get a border wall, and so that they can provide very like I said, so they can curtail not only illegal immigration, but legal immigration. So my sense is that we're going to have a vote on an immigration bill first. I think the bright light that might be out there, Kate, is that the Senate is probably not going to put up with the kind of bill we've put together in the House. And the majority in the Senate is much more slim than it is in the House. And so, you know, while many of us like to curse the Senate may save us in this case.
So do you think discussions about the Farm Bill in Washington are a far cry from how Wisconsinites are viewing it? Or are conversations in the Capitol a reflection of what Wisconsin wants and needs out of this bill?
Well, our current governor, you know, he's been called a quote-unquote thought leader on restricting benefits to people. You know, this whole notion that we need to drug test everybody, that we need to require people to go to work who are either already working or who are marginally connected to work, all of these unscientific, unproven methods are only designed to divert people from benefits. People like Scott Walker, they've monetized the diversion tactics. We will save X number of million dollars if we require people to give us urine specimens. And this is all designed, yes, I would. The short answer to your question, Kate, is yes. Scott Walker has been one of the very first governors to apply for waivers to conduct these experiments on Wisconsinites.
Well, Congresswoman, we're going to have to end it here. Thank you so much for taking time for us.
And thank you, Kate. Have a good day.
You too. Gwen Moore is a U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 4th District. The Democrats' constituents live in the Milwaukee area, and she's served in Congress since she was first elected in 2004. Earlier in the program, we heard from University of Chicago political scientist John Patty talking about the Farm Bill's failure and what it reveals about the challenges on Capitol Hill. We're working on, for next week, getting U.S. Representative Mike Gallagher on this issue, so that is forming, hopefully, for Wednesday. This hour of the morning show was produced by Keely Baltina, and the Ideas Network director Cheryl Gasser. Michael Derringer provided technical support. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this conversation on the Farm Bill, you find it on the Ideas Network.